Hello and welcome to the Library Cafe on WVKR. I'm your host, Thomas Hill. We'll be taking a break this week from our regularly scheduled series of interviews to hear a program of recordings from the Library of Congress's American Memory Collections entitled Voices from the Dust Bowl, the Charles L. Todd and Robert Sonkin Migrant Worker Collection. This will be to follow up on last week's interview with Patricia Fagan of the Francis Lehman Loeb Arts Center about the New Deal art projects and the exhibition For the People, American Mural Drawings of the 1930s and 1940s that will be on view at the center through March 11th. These recordings were made by Todd and Sonkin for the WPA in various Farm Security Administration migrant camps in California that functioned essentially as refugee camps for many of the hundreds of thousands of farmers and ranchers who had been driven off their land during the Great Drought of the 1930s. This drought conditioned what has become known as the Dust Bowl, in which 300 million tons of topsoil were blown from the prairie and western states into the Atlantic Ocean during a time when one-third of the nation was already, as Franklin Roosevelt put it, ill-housed, ill-clad, and ill-nourished following the stock market crash of 1929. This particular collection contains over 400 recordings that have survived from the original expedition of Charles Todd and Robert Sonkin and is only one of the many WPA-sponsored documentary audio collections that are gradually being made available over the Internet by the Library of Congress. The impetus to collect such materials that included folk music and oral histories was part of the larger New Deal program to essentially create in the United States a sense of historical memory, in the belief that by cultivating a sense of the past and the ancient truths that FDR spoke of in his first inaugural address that we played last week on the Library Cafe, the nation would find the confidence needed to discover the road out of this national crisis into a more secure future. This is sometimes called the quest for a usable past, and what is wholly remarkable about it is that as a national historical project, it wasn't concerned with myth-building and great figures like Washington and Lincoln, nor with great events like the Civil War or the First World War, but instead it focused on regional histories, individual voices, racial and ethnic pluralism, and the role that ordinary people, the so-called common man, played in formulating national identity. All of the federal cultural projects took part in this program, including the arts projects, the folklore and music projects, and the writers project. Here at Vassar College, the Vassar Experimental Theater, founded by Hallie Flanagan, who would go on to become director of the WPA's Federal Theater Project, had early on sought to revolutionize American theater along these lines with her production of Can You Hear Their Voices?, a documentary dramatization about a rural laborers' revolt in drought-stricken Arkansas, first performed here at Vassar in 1931. Although, unfortunately, much of the legacy of the New Deal cultural programs has been all but forgotten in the great dust storm of forgetting that began with the beginning of the Second World War, occasional exhibitions like that on view now at the Loeb Center, as well as projects like the American Memory Project that takes advantage of the Internet to showcase representative samples of what are, in a way, shards of this attempt to formulate an authentic national memory, can at least give us a glimpse of the great American cultural experiment of the 1930s that we have all but forgotten. So, we're going to hear now a short interview by Todd and Sonkin with a Mrs. Flora Robertson of the Shafter FSA camp about her experience of the great dust storms of the late 1930s in Oklahoma, followed by a short autobiographical poem she wrote about that experience. One thing very prevalent in these interviews is the degree to which people in the camp seemed compelled to put their experience into some kind of art form, either verse or song, in a way confirming Charles Todd's belief that folk songs constitute a form of journalism. Before you hear Mrs. Robertson, however, I'm going to play the first several minutes of Franklin Roosevelt's Fireside Chat for Labor Day, September 6, 1936, in which he tells of his own experience of the Dust Bowl states that he had just returned from visiting. This is from the Miller Center Digital Archives at the University of Virginia. So here is Franklin Roosevelt, followed by Flora Robertson.
My friends, I have been on a journey of husbandry. I went primarily to see at first hand conditions in the drought states, to see how effectively federal and local authorities are taking care of pressing problems of relief, and also how they are to work together to defend the people of this country against the effects of future droughts. I saw drought devastation in 9 states. I talked with families who had lost their wheat crop, lost their corn crop, lost their livestock, lost the water in their well, lost their garden, and come through to the end of the summer without $1 of cash resources, facing the winter without feed or food, facing a planting season without seed to put in the ground. That was the extreme case, but there are thousands and thousands of families on Western farms who share the same difficulties. I saw cattlemen who, because of lack of grass or lack of winter feed, have been compelled to sell all but their breeding stock and will need help to carry even these through the coming winter. I saw livestock kept alive only because water had been brought to them long distances in tank cars. I saw other farm families who have not lost everything, but who, because they have made only partial crops, must have some form of help if they are to continue farming next spring. I shall never forget the fields of wheat, so blasted by heat that they cannot be harvested. I shall never forget field after field of corn, stunted, earless, stripped of leaves, for what the sun left, the grasshoppers took. I saw brown pasture that would not keep a cow on 50 acres. Yet I would not have you think for a single minute that there is permanent disaster in these drought regions, or that the picture I saw meant depopulating these areas. No cracked earth, no blistering sun, no burning wind, no grasshoppers are a permanent match for the indomitable American farmers and stockmen and their wives and children who have carried on through desperate days and inspire us with their self-reliance, their tenacity, and their courage. It was their father's task to make homes. It is their task to keep these homes. And it is our task to help them win their fight.
We looked in the north and thought it was the blue norther coming, such a huge black cloud, just looked like smoke out of a train stack or something.
This is about what time, David?
About 4 o'clock, 1934. And I just kind of rolling over, and when it got near to the house, we was all afraid, and we ran into the storm house, because we thought it was a storm. And we lit the lamp, and it was just so dark in there that we couldn't see one another. We just had, even with the lamp lit, and we just choked and smothered. And my husband was out after the cows, and he stumbled up against the barbed wire fence, and he followed the fence till he come to the house, is the way he was able to get to the house. And we had to tie wet rags over our mouth, and just to keep from smothering, we dipped cloths in buckets of water and tied over our mouth down the cellar. And that one lasted so fierce for about 2 hours. And then we took courage and seen he wasn't going to blow away, and we went in the house. And we wet blankets and hung over the windows. And then after the first one, of course, we were scared awfully bad. And the old timers said they'd never seen nothing like that. It seemed so fine. Our house was sealed, but that dust come through somehow. Even in those stucco houses, by all around the doors and the windows, the dust would be all piled so high. And you just had to mop real good when it was over to get it out. You just couldn't get it out no other way.
How long did it last?
Well, sometimes a real bad one would last for a half a day. Sometimes it would be a week before we would see the sun. It was just darkened. And sometimes the cloud would look black. Sometimes they would look red. It was according to which way the wind come, whether it was the red dirt it was blowing over or the black dirt, or according to the way that the storm was coming. And we had cattle. We had cows that we gave $60 and some $90 in pure old money. And we it killed them. They was out in there. And we'd cut their lungs open, and it looked just like a mud pack or something. Mm-hmm. It just really showed it was the mud.
Well, first you had the flood, and then the grasshoppers. And then the dust storm, is that it?
Yes. And it was about 5 years before we just really give up.
Mm-hmm.
But every year we began going back in debt so much we thought we never could get out.
You think you would want to come to California?
Well, you get afraid to stay in there. Sure. There's too many has dust pneumonia, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And it gives too many people TB.
Yeah. So that's when you wrote that little poem about the dust storm?
Yes.
Could we hear that? Would you mind reading it to us?
Well, I'll try, but I don't know how good I'll do. I came to Oklahoma before it was a state. Among the Cheyenne Indians, I roamed from morn to late. We were happy, healthy people, proud to live in that state. One dark, lonely day, a new sight did we see. A thick, smothering dust cloud swept over the prairie, killed many people, and most smothered me. We waited and hoped almost 5 years through. More people and cattle died, more dust storms came too. Then we decided something we had better do. We loaded a few things into an old car, hoping west to go very far. We landed at the government camp on a flat tar. So tired and hungry, hearts thick and dirty too. Here we found food and shelter too. The California people sure are good to you.
Then you wrote another one too, didn't you, about... Excuse me.
In tents we are camped like Abram of old. Thank God for a country and a land that's free. We're so glad that our flags are red, white, and blue. I don't know how I mixed it up so bad at the last, but I just did.
That was my fault. I shouldn't have done
it. We're now going to turn in our program on the Library Cafe on the Great Dust Bowl to a recreation of an FSA camp cultural event. Many of the recordings of Todd and Sonkin were made at such events in the camps, which included music, recitations, and other performance by camp inhabitants. The performances, as you'll hear, often have to do with a migrant experience and with life in the camps, and so they provide an excellent view into camp life in and of themselves. We'll start with a short exhortation by Reverend Marley, followed by a song about the camps composed and sung by two children, Mary Campbell and Margaret Treat. This is followed by a comic monologue by an L.D. Westfall, followed by a rendition of the popular song Dreamboat, sung by Mary Helen Bolton.
Spend some time in the Friends Camp for Migratory Workers at Delano, California. I'm happy to say that Reverend Marley and his son is with us tonight, and he's promised me that he'll not take up very much time so that we can get going with our full program that we have for you in just a short time, and it gives me great pleasure this time to introduce to you Reverend Marley.
If I were going to make a speech tonight, I would begin by saying that I have made many speeches, but never to an entire town before, from the little folks right on up to the city council and all of them. I think you have a splendid town here, and I say more power to you. About your little dispute with Farmerville, I might suggest that you both organize baseball teams and get out here on the diamond somewhere and see which one is the best player. I rather would like to come down and referee a game like that, so if you do it, why, you let me know, will you? And I'll see if it can be arranged, because I think it'll be a very interesting game. But what I wanted to say tonight, briefly, is the idea of cooperation here and now, there and everywhere. Because it seems to me that's the thing we most need in the world. I wonder if these folks right down here on the first row and the second row, and maybe the third and fourth row, have heard the story about the lion and the mouse. You know the time, would you like to hear that? The time that the lion had a little mouse come in to his den, and the little mouse was annoying the lion, and he was just about to slap him down with his big paw, and the mouse said, "Wait a minute." And the mouse said, "Now, if you'll spare my life, maybe someday I can do you a good turn." The lion was rather amused at the thought, but he let the little mouse go, and it so happened that not very much later, the mouse was going by that same place, and he heard terrible, loud roars coming from within the lion's den. He poked his little snoot in, and he saw that the lion was all covered up in a big net, which somebody had set for him, and he couldn't get away. So the mouse went in, and what did he do? He began to gnaw at the little ropes of that net. And first thing you know, the lion was free again. Now that is cooperation. If I would go back to a few rows further back, I think most of you would recognize the story of cooperation, a parable told by a man that you've all heard about. The parable was of the man who fell by the wayside, that robbers had left him there for dead.
This is Mary Kelman and Margaret Treat. We are from the Shaffer Government Camp. We are going to sing a song composed by Mary Kelman, Betty Kelman, and Margaret Treat. We call it the Government Camp Song. Over here in the government camp, that's where we get our government stamps, over in that little rag house home. Over in the isolation, that's where we get our vaccinations, over in that little rag house home. Over in Unit 1, that's where the people have their fun, over in that little rag house home. Over in Unit 2, that's where the people go without their shoes, over in that little rag house home. Over in Unit 3, there's where the people in jamborees, over in that little rag house home. Over in Unit 4, people don't live there anymore, over in that little rag house home. Over in Unit 5, people don't act like they're alive, over in that little rag house home. Over in Unit 6, there's where the people learn no tricks, over in that little rag house home. Over in the garden homes, that's where the people like to roam, over in that little garden home. Over at the recreation, that's where the people need a new creation, over by that little rag house home. Over at the library, that's where the people like to tarry, over at the little rag house home. Over at the sewing room, it needs a woman and a broom, over by that little rag house home. Over at the welfare, it sure gets in the people's hair, over by that little rag house home. Over at the reservoir, it needs cleaned by man and boy, over at the little rag house home. Over at the center building, that's where they have a nurse for the children, over at that little rag house home. Over at the boxing ring, that's where the people like shout and sing, over by that little rag house home. Over where we cook and can, we hope someday we'll get a man, over in that little rag house home. We are proud of government camp, that's where we get our government stamps, over by that little rag house home.
This is Mrs. Pond speaking of Shafter Camp, and my son is going to read a small piece that I written for our covered wagon news.
These fellers in the Bakersfield Relief Office sure show their stuff when they shunted us off to the Shafter Camp. Yes, sir, darn my hide if they wasn't smart. When you stop to think of the things they do out here to keep us peaceable in mind, it's no wonder we're fat and sassy. If you can get fat on beans and cornbread, now the missus can. She's gosh darned hefty and is spread over the parts that show most. Now, as I was saying, they sure do take care of us. Why, we have everything them city folks has. They take care of everybody. Yes, sir, now take the kids. They even have nursery schools. Buses take them to these fancy city schools. Parties for them. The women folks has their doings where they patch colored thread on good flour sacks. And we men has our club. Yes, sir, just like these city fellers. And darn my hide if our spit and argy club ain't one place where the women folks ain't got no business. Now, as I was saying, they sure take care of us. Even our dogs, they're going to give us a dog pound. And as near as I can figure out, it's a place where they will keep our own dogs for us when we get tired of them. And yes, sir, by gosh, they even take care of our skeeters. Why, just think, they keep the hydrants dribbling water in the parkings so the little fellers can have a home. Yes, sir, darn my hide if they don't. And when it gets nice and cool in the evening and I sheds my shoes and pants and tries to get a little sleep and rest, and try to think up something new to argue about over at the club, and then drop off to sleep, in come these shouting, spouting, singing skeeters, and stick their blasted stickers about an inch into my hide. I began to think maybe these fellers in the relief office wasn't as smart as I thought, or maybe they were. Anyway, it's the missus who gripes the most. Now take me. I'm kind of skinny and dried up, and while the missus is just what they seems to be looking for. And they swarms around her, claiming kin, you might say, with their cousin. And during my height, if that don't get her dandruff. And she begins to slap at them, and the madder she gets, the worse her batting average. And she'll make one wild swing worse than corn cob in the fighting ring. And scotch way as far as I can. She connects with my old bean, and blame take it, I'm out for the rest of the night. Yes, sir, this is mighty fine camp. Durn my height if it ain't.
My name is Mary Helen Bolton. I live in a migratory camp and learn dreamboat here. When my dreamboat comes home, then my dreams no more will roam. I will meet you and greet you, hold you closer, my own. Moonlit waters will sing of the tender love you bring. We'll be sweethearts forever when my dreamboat comes home.
Next in our recreation of a Farm Security Administration camp cultural event, we turn to two autobiographical songs written and performed by Mrs. Mary Sullivan, A Traveler's Line and Sunny California. Following this, you'll hear a humorous song by a Blackie Brown called I'm a Hot Shot Bum from Iowa. And following this, you'll hear a rather remarkable performance by a young man named Donald Leach called Imitations of Animals. And after this, you'll hear the Raines family singing Down in the Little Green Valley.
As I was walking this morning, I spied a man old and gray, a story to share with someone, so these words to me he did say. For 2 long years now I have wandered away from loved ones at home. It seemed that starvation was on us, and then we decided to roam. At first we camped out on the prairies, then state to state we did try to find work enough for provisions, but it seemed there was no use to try. I finally wound up then at Shafter, in a FSA camp, by the way. A man walked up in and told me, you can sign for a grant check today. Then groceries brought in by the armfuls, the children no longer did sigh. The camp's such a nice place to live in, the manager so nice in reply. So now you all hear my sad story and how we first ventured out. The welfare will close all your family when you stop in a farm worker's camp.
Well, we got the freight train in our hand.
I think we did too, the whistle right on the line.
Well, that's part of the train too, I
think. Yeah.
Yeah, we hear that one pretty
Sunny California. This is one I wrote myself about kind of our trip to California. I left Texas one beautiful day. I made up my mind that I would not stay. No longer in Texas, the place that I loved, though it was like giving up heaven above. My old dad was growing old, his body was bent from hard work and toll. My mother was sleeping in a gay little town where friends and her loved ones had seen her laid down. My sisters and brothers, they hated so bad to see me go west like someone gone mad. to leave all my loved ones and kiss them goodbye, just hoping I'd meet them in the sweet by and by. I thought at first that I would not go no further west than New Mexico. But the work, it was scarce and the weather was bad. I felt like I'd left all the friends that I had. We landed at Peoria one sad, lonely day. No place for a shelter but a raghouse to stay. I felt like Arizona was too much for me. I cried till my heart ached and I scarcely could see. Our next stop was California, where the sun always shines. I know that is a saying, but I'll tell you my mind. In the little town of Colton, hemmed up on a knoll, and the black water splashing till the hearts had grown cold. Now I know you all heard of this awful fate. So many were drowned in this awful state. The state of California, where the sun always shines. How I did wish for Texas, that old state of mine. The black water rolled and the homeless were brought to this little knoll at Colton for shelter they sought. The radios broadcasting, begging people to stay off of the streets and off the highways. The rain finally ceased and the sun shined out bright. How I prayed to heaven and thank God that night. For lives had been spared and all was made right. But I did wish for Texas and the old folks that night. Further on in California, over mountains and plains, to the San Joaquin Valley we drew up our reins. For 4 years today, we've lived it just fine in the state of California, where the sun always shines. Now in the state of California, I guess you all know, the president built homes for people to go, who were homeless and broke and just traveling around, trying to find work and a place to settle down. Now this little camp, it stands here today, the little rag homes for people to stay. From there they find work, and it really isn't bad, although it is different from the life they have had. It was a little better than 4 years ago. It was in March. It was terrible. The roads was all blocked, and we had to go one way 30 minutes, you know, on the highway, and then they'd stop and let the cars go the other way 30 minutes. Just, oh, yes, drowned. They were just hunting them on every side of the road. Yeah, people would get up on the side of our car and tell us about their people being drowned, their homes washed away and all. We had 10 miles space there at that little town of Colton there, as far as we could get. We couldn't get no way. The water had it hemmed in, you know.
Oh, I know, y'all know me now, just got here today. My home way down in little old town, it ain't so far away. Now everybody for miles around all know me by name, that's Blackie Brown. Now that I'm in your big fat town, I must do the same. I'm a hot shot bum, my way boys, you'll see me do my stuff. I'm clean cut fella from corner to corner, my must see me strut. I'm pip pap kitty, got a gal called Hannah, little heavy legged but call my baby. I'm hot shot bum from Iowa boys, and y'all see me do my stuff. Our friends, I haven't played with no friend of mine named Burnside. Little on east side, on east side, see Burnside, on east side, find Burnside, move on south side, on south side, see Burnside, streets were wide. I went down one side, come up to the side, rang the doorbell on the inside, Miss Burnside come on the outside, said like, see Mr. Burnside. Well,
scratch, 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 scratch. Said Mr. Burnside died, committed suicide. Of course, I was horrified. I went across the street on the other side, got ostracized, and didn't get to see Mr. Burnside. I'm a hot shot bum from my way, boy. You ought to see me do my stuff. I'm flip-flop kitty from corner to corner. You might must see me strut. I'm flip-flop kitty, got a gal called Hannah. She's a little heavy-legged, but I call her my baby. I'm a hot shot bum from Iowa, boy. You ought to see me do my stuff.
This one's a frog. Freight train. Chicken. Turkey. Dove.
This is a Raines family singing an old favorite tune here for you.
I see a candlelight down in the little green valley, where morning glory vines are twining round my door. How I wish I was there tonight down in the little green valley, for there my homesick heart would trouble me no more. Only one thing ever gives me consolation. That's to dream that I'll be going back someday. Every night on my knees I pray, the Lord please take me back to that little old green valley far away. I hear a mocking bird down in the little green valley, singing out its little heart welcome me. Someone waits by the garden gate down in the little green valley. When I get back again, how happy she will be. Then down by the little babbling brook we'll wander, hand in hand we'll dreamly twile the hours away. Then I'll leave all cares behind, go where open sunshine, to far away.
We're going to continue this recreation of a New Deal FSA migrant camp cultural event with an announcement by Mrs. Viola Hayes, followed by a sing-along, Going Down the Road Feeling Bad, led by Ruth Huber and Lois Judd, with train whistle sound effects provided by Grady Wiley. These recordings are nicely documented. This is followed by two songs performed by the King family, a popular group of the Visalia camp. Following this, you'll hear Bill Jackson singing his own composition, California. And lastly, in this set, you'll hear a traditional hymn sung by Betty Sweat.
I just wanted to, which one of this? I just wanted to ask all you women to come out to the Homemakers Club tomorrow. And that's our regular bi-monthly meeting, you know. We're having quite an interesting demonstration on thrift garments. Also, clothing work. And then after that, we have a recreation period, which is followed by refreshments. Now, we had 91 women out last time and couldn't seat all of them. But we have more chairs this time, and we hope that we can seat everyone, and if we don't, we'll send out for more benches.
He's
ready, are we?
Bad. I'm going down
for the Lord, and ain't gonna be treated this way.
Folks, this number is Cripple Creek.
Sang some 35 years ago. I'm going to try to sing it by Nettie Sweat. Oh, the time is drawing nigh when we all must say goodbye. Loving friends, the thought is sad that comes to me. Though when I am far away, I will kneel and for you pray, for the Lord to bless and guide you o'er the sea. What a happy time twill be when we cross the stormy sea, and among the shining angels there to stand, we will meet our loved ones there, evermore with them to dwell. In that home above where comes no sad farewell, time has come when we must part, though with sad and broken hearts, but we hope in heaven we all shall meet again, reunited there to be in the long eternity, there to live forevermore with Christ our King. What a happy time will be when we cross the stormy sea, and among the shining angels there to stand, we will meet our loved ones there, evermore with them to dwell, in that home above where comes no sad farewell.
We're going to finish our migrant camp cultural event with a song by Noel Westbrook of the Shafter Camp singing Highway Hobo, and this is followed by Homer Pierce singing It Makes No Difference Now, And finally, you'll hear Jack Bryant singing Sunny Cal.
I'm just a lonely hobo riding on a train, searching for my sweetheart, searching all in vain. If I could only find
the whole night long, but I thought we all pockets left to stay, 'cause I haven't got the money and I cannot get away. Now listen to me, okay, as I'll hand it to you straight. I came out here 8 weeks ago and I haven't worked a day. But now I'm on relief, 'cause I guess I've done my best. It wasn't for old Uncle Sam, I guess, to start to death.
Well, that finishes our recreation of a New Deal-era Farm Security Administration Camp cultural event, some of it from actual recordings at such events that took place in the camps, some of it from interviews conducted in the camps by the WPA recording team of Charles Todd and Robert Sonkin. These recordings and many others, along with photographs and other documentary materials, are available at the Library of Congress's American Memory site in the collection entitled Voices from the Dust Bowl at memory.loc.gov. We're going to end our program with a clip from a recording of an interview by Alan Lomax with Woody Guthrie, who talks about the disintegration of his own family through a series of family tragedies that put him on the road, and of his own experience of a dust storm in West Texas. And he finishes the interview with his own song, So Long It's Been Good to Know You, with its original lyrics written about that experience. You've been listening to the Library Cafe on WVKR FM 91.3 Poughkeepsie.
Harmonica and a guitar by Woody Guthrie from Okemo, Oklahoma. Woody Guthrie is, I guess, about 30 years old from the looks of him, but he's seen more in those 30 years than most men see before they're 70. How long was it ago that you were born in Okemo?
28 years. You pretty near guessed it. I was born there in July the 14th, 1912.
How did you people live out there in Oklahoma? Did you live pretty well?
I don't know, Alan. To start with, I wasn't in the class that John Steinbeck called the Okies, because my dad, to start with, was worth about $35,000 or $40,000, and he had everything hunky-dory. Then he started having a little bad luck. In fact, our whole family had a little bit of it. I don't know whether it's worth talking about or not. I never do talk it much. My 14-year-old sister either set herself afire or caught a fire accidentally. There's two different stories got out about it. Anyway, she was having a little difficulty with her schoolwork, and she had to stay home and do some work, and she caught a fire while she was doing some ironing that afternoon on the old kerosene stove. It was highly unsafe and highly uncertain in them days, and this one blowed up, caught her a fire, and she run around the house about twice before anybody could catch her. Next day, she died. And my mother, Adam, was a little bit too much for her nerves or something. I don't know exactly how it was, but anyway, my mother died in the insane asylum at Norman, Oklahoma. Then about that same time, my father mysteriously, for some reason or other, caught a fire. There's a lot of people say that he set himself afire. Others say that he caught a fire accidentally. I always will think that he'd done it on purpose, because he'd lost all his money. All my brothers and sisters, all these things happened, and they found themselves scattered. All us kids had to scatter out and be adopted by different families. I lived with a family of people. There was 11 of us. Lived in a little two-room shack. We had two or three beds, you know, and so we'd sleep, some of us at the head and some of us at the foot, and had everybody's feet and everybody's faces, you know how that is. And then after that, I don't know, I kind of took to the road. I hit the road one day, the first day that I ever hit the highway, to be what's called a rambling man or a hobo or a tramp, was in 1927.
How old were you then?
At that time, I was about 17 years old. Thank you. to Galveston, Texas. Hoed figs and all them orchards down in that country and helped drill water wells and irrigated strawberries and helped a carpenter down there to tear down a whole bunch of houses. And at that time, I was about 18.
Well, Woody, did you begin to sing about this time? Or how did that happen?
Well, then I went back up into the panhandle of Texas, the big wheat belt, up around Amarillo, Texas, north of Amarillo, Texas, and when I got out into that country, I got a job about the third day I was there. I got a job with a feller that was, he owned a root beer stand, supposedly. And he said he'd give me $3 a day to stand behind the counter and sell people root beer. So I told him I had intelligence enough to do that. So I got around behind the counter he told me, he said, now in addition to this root beer, he said, here's some bottles here of another description. He says, if anybody comes up and lays a dollar and a half on the counter here, why, you reach down and gently and firmly let them have one of these here bottles. One day, my curiosity got the best of me, and I just got to wondering what in the devil is in them bottles. So I opened up one and tasted of it, and it was nothing in the world but just unadulterated corn whiskey. So we was a wheeling and a dealing there in the whiskey business for a long time. This guy had a guitar that laid around there, and a lot of times there wouldn't be any customers in the place. I'd grab up this guitar and got to pecking around on it. I thought it sounded awful pretty. And learned a little old chord, just how to barely chord along, and finally learned a few little old songs, and then I just kind of drifted into it. I never did own a guitar, though.
Well, what were some of the first songs you began to sing out there in the panhandle, Woody?
Here's an old song here that they sang back down in that country. Almost everybody knows it. The name of this one here is Greenback Dollar. I don't want your greenback dollar. I don't want your silver change. All I want is your love, darling. Won't you take me back again? In this part of Texas where I was working in this whiskey store, some of the worst dust storms in the history of the whole world, I guess, broke loose. Here's a picture here, Alan. I'd like for you to look at that. That there is the little town of Pampa, Texas. That's where my wife and three children are living right now, and I hear about from them about twice a week.
Well, what happened the night that first dust storm hit? Do you remember just exactly what you people did and what you said?
Well, now, you see this picture here. It shows you the big dust storm coming up. And, just to see a thing of that kind coming towards you, you wouldn't know exactly what it was because it's a freak-looking thing. You never saw anything like it before. But we all sat there. We had seen dust storms of every other different color, flavor, description, style, fashion, shade, design, model. But anyway, I remember the particular evening of April the 14th, 1935, that this dust storm here blowed up. I was standing, a whole bunch of us was standing, just outside of this little town here that you see. And so we watched the dust storm come up like the Red Sea closing in on the Israel children. Anyway, we stood there and watched the son of a gun come up. And I'm telling you, it got so black when that thing hit, we all run into the house, and all the neighbors had all congregated in different houses around over the neighborhood. We sat there in a little old room, and it got so dark that you couldn't see your hand before your face. You couldn't see anybody in the room. You could turn on an electric light bulb, a good, strong electric light bulb in a little room, and that electric light bulb hanging in the room looked just about like a cigarette a-burning, and that was all the light that you could get out of it. So we got to talking, you know, and a lot of people in the crowd that was religious-minded, and they was up pretty well on the scriptures, and they said, well, boys, girls, friends, and relatives, this is the end. this is the end of the world. And everybody said, well, so long, it's been good to know you. I made a little song there. That's kind of one of my own making, though. It's called So Long, It's Been Good to Know You.
So long, it's been good to know you. So long, been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. This dusty old dust is a-blowing me home. I've got to be rolling along. I'll sing this song, but I'll sing it again, of the place that I lived on the West Texas plains. In the city of Pampa, the county of Gray, here's what all of the people there say. Well, it's so long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. This dusty old dust is a-blowing me home. I've got to be drifting along. The church houses were jammed and packed. People was sitting from front to the back. It was so dusty, the preacher couldn't read his text. So he folded his specs and he took up collections. Said, so long, it's been good to know you. So long, been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. This dusty old dust isn't rolling me home. Gotta be drifting along.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Guthrie.
Thank you, Mr. Lomax.
This record was made on March the 21st, 1940. Alan Lomax speaking.